This is Express FM. Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's offside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Well, it did not quite go to plan for Pompey at the weekend, did it?
Brown, short to Raggett. And the full-time whistle has gone at Fratton Park. It must be a low feeling for the Portsmouth players coming off the pitch. They have been thrashed here at home, 4-0 by Hull City.
But on a day the Blues were hammered by promotion rivals on the home turf, we still had plenty to cheer about off the pitch. Following the full-time whistle, Swansea City midfielder George Byers was announced as the latest incoming to Fratton Park. We'll hear from Maloney between now and 7 o'clock.
The manager phoned me, I spoke to the manager, had a good conversation with him, said nothing but good things about the club, where the club wanted to go, and I just wanted to be a part of that. There's a lot of good players in the Championship. Portsmouth, they've been there before, need to get them back in the Championship, that's where we want to be as a club.
And prior to kick-off, the worst-kept secret of the season was finally made official. We'll also be hearing from Charlie Daniels on tonight's show.
I spoke to numerous people about the club and every one of them have had nothing but good things to say about the club, so I'm really excited to be here and I'm really excited to get going.
So, Pompey fans, are you happy with those signings? We also want to know your feelings from Saturday's 4-0 defeat at home to Hull City. We've got a full review of that game as well as an in-depth look into the next one too, right here on 93.7 Express FM. A very good evening and welcome to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to the Football Hour here on Express FM. Driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store now to view the latest timetables and even pay for your next ticket as well. As always, 81400 is the number to text if you'd like to get in touch with us tonight. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet at expressfm, or head on over to facebook.com/Pompey Live. We're going to get this one out of the way as soon as possible tonight. As we always do, we're going to take a quick listen back to the last game played by Pompey. At the weekend, the Blues welcomed league leaders Hull City to Fratton Park with the chance to once again leapfrog the Tigers at the summit of League One. But it didn't quite work out the way this time around.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
A really exciting one in League One between third place Portsmouth and the leaders Hull City. Pompey could potentially go top of the table, but Lincoln City might have something to say about that. We are underway, and the ball has gone long straight through to Craig McGilvery, Portsmouth's goalkeeper, who has gone 9 hours and 26 minutes without conceding. It's going to be a left-footed in-swinging delivery. No, it's not. It's a right-footer from Honeyman. Lovely error. Header saved. And Watmore has put the ball in his own net. McGilvery palmed it out to hit the shins of Watmore and cross the line, and Hull have taken the lead from a set piece. 23 minutes gone, Portsmouth 0, Hull 1. The fullback to send it in, low to the near post. It wasn't the best, but it still might fall for Hull in the penalty area. Keane Lewis-Potter stabs it forward, but McGilvery's quick to his right to fall on the loose ball. Raggett's down with header, falls to Keane Lewis-Potter, who drives towards the penalty area. Danger here for Portsmouth. Ball pulled back, great chance for Wilkes. Really good chance, challenge from Watmore. Still there, shot, cleared off the line by Raggett, and then forced into the net by Honeyman. Pompey couldn't get it away, and George Honeyman has his third of the season, and Portsmouth have given themselves a mountain to climb. It's Portsmouth 0, Hull 2. Hull breaking into the penalty area once more. It's laid off, or it's trying to be laid off for Honeyman. It comes to Doherty, and now a lovely ball in behind to Coyle. Coyle across the face of goal, it's 3. I'm not sure it's gone off Watmore again. It might be another own goal. And Hull City have arrived at Fratton Park and they have laid a marker in the League One automatic promotion race. It's Portsmouth 0, Hull City 3. Crowley playing a reverse pass to Honeyman outside the area to McGuinness. McGuinness, who's been dropped recently, gets a wonderful shot from distance and finds the bottom corner. And McGuinness makes it 4-0 to Hull City. There's nothing McGilvery can do down to his right. And this is an absolute hiding for Pompey in stoppage time. It's now Portsmouth 0, Hull City 4. Brown, short to Raggett. And the full-time whistle has gone at Fratton Park. It must be a low feeling for the Portsmouth players coming off the pitch. They have been thrashed here at home, 4-0 by Hull City.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM, Pompey Live.
Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham teaming up there on Saturday afternoon to deliver the commentary of Pompey's 4-0 defeat at home to Hull City. Truly a day to forget for the Blues. Two unfortunate Jack Watmore own goals, a scrappy George Honeyman strike, it has to be said, but then a nice curled effort from Josh McGuinness. The difference between the two sides at Fratton Park. And joining me this evening to dissect that one and of course to preview tomorrow's clash with Lincoln City, first and foremost, I'm delighted to welcome back Mr. Henry Deacon. Henners, great to hear from you again, mate.
Yeah, very good evening, Jake. Evening, everyone. Unfortunately, yeah, great to be back with you, but we could have picked some better circumstances, that's for sure.
Definitely. And to be honest, Henners, I can't help but feel that wasn't the biggest loss of a weekend, though. I found a regular-sized chocolate button in my bag of Giant Buttons earlier, and I wasn't happy one bit. It's not fair.
That was Jake Smith's size, that button.
That's what got me down this weekend. Not that 4-0 defeat. Alongside you, Henry Deacon, tonight we have making his Football Hour debut, Rob Calcutt, Portsmouth University journalism graduate and writer for both Prost International and Vavel. Rob, thank you for taking the time to call in tonight.
Evening, Jake. Thank you for having me.
Now, it was not quite the 4-4-2 Pompey were hoping for this week, was it, Rob? Scored four against Wimbledon, four let in the other end against Hull, followed by two new signings. Plenty to discuss this evening, though. But unfortunately, the main talking point, a heavy defeat to a promotion rival. How did Pompey bounce back from that one?
It's difficult, isn't it? It's midweek, it was such a high, smashing Wimbledon 4-0, and then you thought, try and get a top spot at the weekend against Hull, who are arguably a very good team. But, you know, I think 4-0 was a bit harsh on Pompey. I thought they didn't play that badly. But Jack Watmore, I feel so sorry for him. It wasn't his best day, was it?
And we joked before, Henry, but, you know, in all fairness, Pompey were comprehensively beaten by very, very strong Hull side, who, of course, the Blues beat by 2-0 back at the KCOM Stadium in the reverse fixture all the way back in December. But it was a 4-0 loss this time around. But actually, only four of the starting 11 for Hull on Saturday actually featured in that 2-0 defeat at the KCOM. So it was a much changed side and a very dangerous team of that as well.
Yeah, and I think they probably would have thought that before going out. They knew that they lost the last fixture, but they knew that perhaps they weren't at full strength in that game. They knew that going there and getting any result on Saturday for Hull would have been putting a marker down. You can go away to Fratton Park, okay, granted, of course, we've spoken about this year, haven't we, the issue of no crowds, but still to go there and get a result, just considering how big a fortress it has been for Pompey, it was always going to be a marker.
Yeah.
But then to do it as emphatically as they have, winning by 4-0, is an even bigger marker. Now, for Portsmouth, it's a big week coming up because, OK, you can go and win or go and lose 4-0. And it's now both sides reacting to that. Hull can't get carried away with it. They're going to have to keep the levels high. And for Portsmouth, you get out of the system as soon as you can. And you know what? I think playing Lincoln tomorrow is the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah, and it is a very good chance, like Henners says there, Rob, to play a Lincoln City side, of course, second on the table now. Again, another team we've beaten on the road. But in terms of going into this match, Pompey will be hungry to bounce back from Saturday's defeat and really maintain the record. And you know, I hate to be the one that says it, but maintain the record that Kenny Jackett still has not lost back-to-back league games during his time at Pompey.
Well, yeah, hopefully you haven't jinxed it now. But a win tomorrow against Lincoln would be, I think, a real statement, despite Saturday's poor performance. Obviously, Lincoln's second, just two spaces above Pompey now, who are fourth. But it definitely won't be easy. Definitely won't be easy. And yeah, as I said, a win would be a real statement to show that Pompey aren't giving up just yet on promotion.
Yeah, and of course that result on Saturday, it does sting, Henry. It really does sting. It wasn't a nice one to take, of course. You know, playing a promotion rival, you really do go out hoping that you get a massive 3 points. But when you take a step back and you look at the season, you look at the games that are still remaining, Tuesday's game against Lincoln, the full-time whistle will mark the halfway stage of this League One campaign. And of course, by the end of the match, we would have played Hull City twice already. We would have played Lincoln twice already. And we go into the second half of the season, regardless of the result tomorrow night, in a very good position to still be chasing automatic promotion. So, OK, yeah, it was a hard one to take. But when you actually look back on it, it's not the end of the world. And there is still plenty of time left of this season to make up that ground.
Yeah, and I think if you look at Kenny Jackett's record at Pompey as well, take away the year that we were top at Christmas, the other three seasons, we've always been a team that have always done their business in the second half of the season. And if you're Kenny in that dressing room, you go, well, we're halfway through. They know what they would have got from that, and you set your target to be a bit higher. Of course, you've taken Hull out of the equation, you've taken Lincoln out of the equation. So what you have done there is it gives you a clear one. But then again, that gives them a clear one as well.
Yeah.
So certainly going to be, it's going to be tight. But going back to that defeat, I remember when in the Premier League a few years ago, do you remember when Liverpool beat Man United 4-1 at Old Trafford when they're both in that title race together?
Yeah.
People thought that was the turning point of the season and that Liverpool go on and win the title. From that point onwards, so Alex took that defeat and then ran what Benitez said down his throat. The reaction from a win like that is as important as a win, because sometimes you can win those games. It might be a statement for one game, but you put your foot off the gas, which I'm not actually sure Hull will do, because I think they're a quality side. But if you do take your foot off the gas, they're easy to be exploited. And Portsmouth, as I say, they're a second half of the season team. I think when the games come thick and fast, Saturday, Tuesday, once they get a run together, this team usually don't slip up often. So I think second half of the season could be promising.
Henry Deacon, very, very wise words there. We could probably end the show there, to be honest with you. You've perfectly summed up the thoughts that I've got inside my head. It's not the end of the world, is it? We've got a long way to go. But like you say, it is how Pompey react tomorrow night against Lincoln City. Don't forget, Blues fans, this here is the perfect opportunity for you back home to have your say on anything Pompey related. Does this side still have the makings of an automatic promotion team? Is it too early in the season to be worried about Saturday's result? And where does Ben Close fit into this Pompey team following the signings of Harvey White and George Byers last week? All the usual ways to get in touch. It's at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter. Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Visit facebook.com/PompeyLive or you can email into Pompey@ExpressFM.com. But before we do move on to any of those, we're going to hear now from one of the new signings. First up, it's George Byers, who started by talking about how the move came about.
Yeah, I had a call from my agent about a month ago, just before the start of the window, to say that Portsmouth were interested in signing. And then the manager phoned me. I spoke to the manager, had a good conversation with him, said nothing but good things about the club, where the club wanted to go, and I just wanted to be a part of that, yeah.
With that length of time, it must be a bit of a relief to get it all over the line.
Yeah, I'm happy it's done now. Can concentrate on football and getting back playing again, which is the main thing that I wanted to do.
You're a central midfielder. Just talk us through the role that you like to play in teams.
Yeah, I do a bit of everything in the midfield. I like to create, score goals, assist, but I can also do the dirty side of the game, picking up second balls and doing stuff like that. So yeah, I think I bring a bit of everything to the table.
And in terms of your career so far, just talk us through how you've progressed. I know obviously you started at Watford as a youngster.
Yeah, I started at Watford, made my debut when I was 18, and then I got released from Watford when I was 20, came to Swansea, signed for Swansea. I was in the 23s there for a couple of years and then broke through under Graham Potter when he was there. Had a good season there, and then he left, and then obviously the new manager Steve Cooper came in, and been playing consistently under him for the last couple of years. So yeah, it's been a tough journey, but obviously now I'm here at Portsmouth and ready to kick on again in my career. Yeah.
That Swansea move, when it came about, it must have been a bit of a dream move, because as you say, you're in the under 23s, but they were a Premier League club at the time and you know, a massive club at that.
Yeah, of course, and before I moved to Swansea, I had other options, but because Swansea were in the Premier League, it gave me that little insight to maybe I can make my Premier League debut. That didn't come, unfortunately, but I learned a lot of good things. And then when the club got relegated, I stepped up to the play in the Championship and started playing consistently. So, yeah, it was the best thing for me, yeah.
Yeah, and how is the standard in the Championship? Because that's obviously where Pompey as a club want to get themselves.
Yeah, it's a very good standard. Of course, there's a lot of good players in the Championship. But obviously, Portsmouth, they've been there before. Need to get them back in the Championship. That's where we want to be as a club, and that's where the manager wants to be and the players as well. So hopefully this season we've started off well. Hopefully we can kick on and get back to the Championship, yeah.
In terms of your Swansea teammates, Jamal Lowe, any conversations with him before you came here?
Yeah, I've spoken to Jamal a few times, and yeah, as I said before, only good things been said about the club. He loved his time here and obviously done very well and moved on to do well for Wigan, and obviously now doing well at Swansea. So yeah, nothing but good things said about the club.
And obviously coming in on loan, what would you say your sort of aims for? Is it to kind of put you in the window for the manager at Swansea, or are you sort of looking to maybe start a new chapter in your career?
Well, I think the most important thing is now, and I want to come and play games and do well for Portsmouth and see where that takes me. That might be back at Swansea, or it might be something else. You never know what the future holds.
There you have it then, 24-year-old Swansea City midfielder George Byers, who joined Pompey on an end-of-season loan deal just half an hour after the full-time whistle on Saturday. And Rob, going to throw this one straight back to you this time. George Byers, there, a fantastic interview with Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team, comes across very well and saying all the right things, which is pleasing to see after such a heavy defeat. It was the good news we were wanting, really.
Yeah, he did. It's good to know that he believes that Pompey needs to be back up in the Championship. I think most people across the country will agree with that. I think it's a really smart signing from Pompey. I think you look at the games that were postponed over the Christmas period and with the season in general, which is just a lot more congested, a lot more fixtures to be played. So I think it's really good for the club to make, because it gives Kenny Jackett the chance to rotate, and is a good attacking midfielder as well, which you look after the whole game at the weekend, the lack of goals that was there, he may be a good utility to improve on that.
Yeah, and a big claim, Henry, as well, that he can bring a nitty-gritty attitude to the team. He's not afraid to get stuck in, and he really does have that passion, the desire to break straight into the starting 11 and give his all every match. And that's the kind of attitude you want from a player, in particular a loan player. You can sometimes worry that when you sign a player on loan, they're not going to quite have the same emotional connection to the club. But again, like you've just heard from him there, he just wants to play football. He just wants to improve in his career, and he knows the task at hand, and he's ready to go.
Everything I heard in that interview, for me, was spot on. And like you, Jake, I've interviewed a lot of young players. I know he's 24, but still, I call him young. And sometimes there's not naivety, but a little bit of nervousness in the voice. Too scared to maybe say the right thing, or too scared to maybe say the wrong thing. He came across very well. He came across very assured of himself. He came across confident. He knows the game. Mm. He knows what he's doing. And, I mean, we know how good Swansea are as an outfit in the Championship. You don't break through that team without having some quality about you. So does he come in straight away? We'll discuss that later on. But what he does come across is someone that when the call is made, you're in the lineup Saturday, you're in the lineup tonight, he's ready for it, and he'll take it and he'll grasp it.
And it's another midfield option, Rob. He's come out today, actually, to the press, and he said he likes to play as a number eight, really. So essentially a defensive midfielder alongside, you would expect, Tom Naylor. It's going to be very hard to push Andy Cannon out of that role, despite a pretty quiet showing from the whole team on Saturday, really. But he can also play in that number 10 position as well, if that formation is once again adopted. I know it's not too keen on supporters, but the 4-2-3-1 is brought back up again. But the option is there if required. He's got that versatility about him, but he can fit in the defensive side and the attacking side of midfield.
Yeah, as I said, such a smart signing, because it does allow for rotation. And if in games we need to change the formation like we did on Saturday, he does offer that creativity that we might need. Obviously, you said with Tom Naylor and Andy Cannon, who are just constant starters for the club now, and obviously with Tom Naylor's recent impressive performances recently, it might be hard to get him out of the team. But yeah, it's as you said, with versatility as well, it's just be a real, real help for Pompey in their promotion push.
Yeah. After the break, we'll hear from yet another new signing who insists that the competition he brings is nothing but healthy for the squad.
Any top team, you know, they have competition throughout the whole squad. So for me and Lee, if we can make each other better, if we can improve together, then it improves the whole team. So I'd like to think that me and him are in competition, but we're doing it for the sake of the team.
Stay tuned to hear the rest of that interview with former Premier League defender Charlie Daniels, who was announced as a Pompey player before kickoff on Saturday. 81400 is the number to text if you want to get involved. Make Express your first word and include your name at the end of that as well, so we know who you are. Alternatively, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, include @expressfm within your tweets, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Pompey Live. I'll be back with Henry Deacon and Rob Calcutt for part two of this Monday Football Hour very shortly here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the only radio station proud to be situated on the great waterfront city of Portsmouth, 93.7 Express FM. You're listening here to the Football Hour. Hello, good evening. If you've just joined us, I'm joined tonight by Henry Deacon and Rob Calcutt to investigate Pompey's 4-0 defeat at home to league leaders Hull City, as well as to look forward to tomorrow night's game under the floodlights. We'll come on to preview the visit of Lincoln City later in the show. But first, Rob, back to a little bit of a discussion we were talking about before the break, and that was, of course, the signing of George Byers. And today, rumours have surfaced linking Pompey to 20-year-old midfielder, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, by the way. I must be honest, I've not heard of him before today, so go easy on me. Michel Ndari Adopo. It could be Adopo as well. I'm not too sure. He currently plays for Italian Serie A side Torino. 20-year-old midfielder, Rob. If you look at pictures of him as well, he looks extremely strong. And the rumours are that it's a loan deal with a view to buy in the summer. If that is to be trusted, if that is correct, if that does turn out to be true, and Michel does sign before the end of this transfer window, it's yet again another midfield option for the Blues.
Yeah, but stacked in midfielders now. Obviously, coming from Torino, big Italian club, would be another big statement from Pompey. Again, it does raise the question of who can start in what is now a packed midfield battle. Obviously, as you said, it does look very, very strong. So he would be able to hold the midfield tightly and defend well. But who is he going to replace? Naylor, Cannon? It's a difficult decision for Kenny Jackett if it does come through.
And when you've got players in this squad now, Henry, again, if that aforementioned player, Michel Ndari Adopo, does sign for Pompey this transfer window, you've then got the likes of, like, you know, Rob's just mentioned there, Tom Naylor, Andy Cannon, Harvey White, and George Byers as well. And that, you know, that goes without mentioning Ben Close as well. It's a big time of the season for Ben Close to really stake his claim, fight for his position within that squad, because it has to be said, with these new signings coming in, he's falling down the pecking order. And it's a shame to see, if, you know, a player who's come through the academy, I wouldn't say phased out of the squad, I wouldn't say he's been treated unfairly, of course, but just falling down the pecking order a bit, and you can't really see too much of a way back in with all the competition within the team.
Yeah, but Ben's been there before. I remember interviewing him a few years ago, and firstly, no one in football has got a bad word to say about Ben Close. And I remember when we spoke to him a couple of years ago, he was at the peak of, not the peak of his powers, but he was at that stage, wasn't he, a couple of years ago, where his form was just there. He was there, starting week in, week out, first name on the team sheet. But that only came, a few months after a run where he couldn't get in the side again himself. He was struggling with form. People were talking about, do you take him out on loan somewhere? And things like that. So he's been there before, and he knows how to get himself back into the 11. And it is going to be a case of, there is going to be a lot of football, which helps, because naturally not everyone's going to play every game, especially when you've got a congested midfield and you've got congested fit list. I don't know what's going on in this lockdown madness, but If there's one area of the field where, when you've got game after game, it's going to be rotated, it's going to be the midfield. So that's also going to be hip to him. He's just going to find that extra bit in training, and he's a very good pro, but he's going to have to try and do more to stand out, especially when you bring players in. You're going to have to do that bit more to kind of say, well, I know you brought him in, but I'm going to be the one that starts. I'm going to be the one that's in your thoughts on Saturday. And look, he's been there before, and he's done it, and he's done it with flying colours. So to back him to do it again, yes, I would.
Yeah. Sam Macy on Twitter, of course, a regular guest here on Beat Footballer. Good evening to you, Sam. He's tweeted in, he's got involved. He says, Ben Close has played his last game in a Pompey shirt for me. Kenny has shown over the course of his reign he doesn't trust Andy Cannon. I think that was proved from the substitution he made at half-time on Saturday. I will be shocked if Byers or White do not start tomorrow against Lincoln City. The thoughts there of Sam Macy on Twitter. Back to Saturday's result. Alan Swift on the emails. Good evening to you, Alan. Hi, Jake and lads. What a weird couple of days. A 4-0 home win last Tuesday, followed by a 4-0 home defeat on Saturday. What are the odds on that sequence happening? It just means we must win one more game than we previously needed to, starting tomorrow against Lincoln. We need to win as the points gap is widening between us and the current top two. I like the sound of the two new lads, who I should think would start tomorrow. Maybe with a central midfield three, although I don't like the sound of that. Left back, I'm not sure. The tools are there to improve the team for the running, that is for sure. He's class and should have been involved on Saturday. In fact, the whole team should have been, says Alan Swift on the emails then. Back to normal with a 2-0 win tomorrow afternoon, says Alan in Southsea, who finishes with PS, is everyone fit and well? You lads, I mean, not the team. Alan, very well, thank you, my friend. Pleasure to be still reporting from the games, of course. I'm trusting that both Henry and Rob are doing well. You both doing all right, lads?
Yeah, doing good.
Good. Slowly getting there, aren't we? Slowly trying to reach a conclusion to all of this. Thank you to Alan and Salsevier on the emails. Paul O'Neill on Facebook. I think we were poor, but still in the game at half-time, so bringing Cannon and Williams off, it baffled me. Second half, Hull just picked us off, and we couldn't pick the ball up for more than three or four passes. Ronan Curtis looked totally off the pace amongst others. Hawulin, not to be even in the squad, was a strange one too. Hopefully a one-off bad day, and we turn up and play against Lincoln. Paul O'Neill there on Facebook. And a very good point raised by Paul there, Rob, was the fact that Jordi Hawula was, of course, not mentioned in the starting lineup on Saturday, but also not included within the subs bench as well, which fair to say didn't really go down too well with fans.
No, it's a shame because it was a good sign and made at the end of the transfer window, and he must be thinking to himself, why? You know, he's a good impact player. I think he could have done a good job off the bench. Albeit, I think Alex Harrison did do quite well in a few minutes on the game. But yeah, it's a shame for Hurula because he's a really good player. Really, really good player. But I do feel a bit sorry for him. He hasn't been getting as much game time as I think he deserves.
Yeah. And just a final few words on Saturday's game, Henry. We haven't really dwelled on it too much, have we? But yeah, just to summarise the events of the match, it was a 4-0 defeat. Two unfortunate own goals, it has to be said, but that's not me saying that with blue-tinted glasses. Jack Watmore was very unlucky to put the ball into the back of the net on two occasions. The first one, a very unfortunate ricochet off of Craig McGill through him, and then the second own goal, which was a ball in from the right, and if he hadn't got there, Keane Lewis-Potter was ready to strike at the back post. So yeah, two goals from open play scored from Hull. A very good side, it has to be said. And a team who communicated well. They were very well drilled. They were hungry for the 3 points. They were arguably more intense in every one versus one battle. And, you know, we could sit here, we could, you know, analyse Pompey's performance. We'd be honest, you know, it was poor. You know, the intensity from the get-go, it wasn't quite up to the same standard we've seen in the last five or six matches. But we're also not going to sit here and slate the team for one bad performance against a very good team, because it was really a mixture of both Hull turning up and Pompey not at the same time. So when you've got 24 league games of a season, Henry, are you going to be too worried about one defeat, especially when it is against arguably the best team in the division?
No. Quite frankly, look, any manager in the world can never ever account for 2-1 goals in a game. When you go in your team talk before any game, let alone a game against a team like Hull, top of the table, clash at home, you don't account for 2-1 goals. It's just one of those unfortunate things that happens in football. And I think we've all been impressed with Jack Watmore since he's come back. So it was unlucky on him, or be unlucky on anyone really for that. But new on the day is the way that Grant McCann's side set up. They are organised. They're compact. You know what you're going to get with them. So, you know, perhaps maybe tactically at points they'll be disappointed. But look, the beauty about the way this season is you get opportunities to come back very quickly from these things.
Yeah.
It's wonderfully, as you say. You know, a few days before that, we beat AFC Wimbledon 4-0 and we look like a team that were still in the championship race, and we still are in the championship race.
We dust ourselves off, we go again, don't we? And for those questioning, you know, okay, you know, Pompey beat Wimbledon 4-0, it's all well and good, but you know, they are a relegation threatened team. We need to, you know, prove that against teams higher up in the division. But if you look back at results this season, we've beaten Hull away from home, we've beaten Lincoln City away from home, Peterborough, Fleetwood as well. I know they are struggling a little bit this season as well. Ipswich away from home on two separate occasions in of course the FA Cup as well. The results have been coming. You know, Pompey haven't been doing poorly against the top sides in this division. Hopefully it is just a one-off, Blues fans, and hopefully we'll see a recovery tomorrow night against the Lincoln. Just one more final Facebook comment from that game then. Daniel Seymour, he says, I think Hull had a sense of a revenge and were just a better team on the day. Hoping for a reaction tomorrow at Lincoln. Honeyman and Lewis Potter were outstanding for them. If they keep them in their squad, I think they will go up comfortably. Daniel Seymour on Facebook there. And if, like Daniel there, you'd like to get in touch with us throughout the course of a show, you of course can. Simply text your name and message to 81400, putting the word Express at the start of those, or you can send an email to pompey@expressfm.com, tweet at expressfm, or post a comment on facebook.com/pompeylife. And I'm going to give you a few moments to do that whilst we take a listen to a man who'd been linked to Pompey for what seemed like an eternity, Charlie Daniels, the Blues' new left back, spoke to Ollie Marsh at the weekend about how it felt to finally get the deal over the line.
Really happy to be here. You know, it's a club that's on a really good run, and you know, pushing for a promotion. It's something that I really feel that I hopefully I can contribute to.
You spent a large portion of your career with Bournemouth. Does it feel like a little bit of a homecoming coming back to the South Coast?
Yeah, in a way, yeah. You know, it's a club that I've followed, you know, being so close to Bournemouth, you know, and knowing a lot of people that have played for the club as well. So it's one that I've been to the ground numerous times, you know, amazing atmosphere, really big fan base, you know, I'm really excited to get going.
Yeah, even when you were just looking around just then, looking at the Hall of Fame, there were a few names on there that you recognised.
Yeah, there was a couple, yeah, you know, Linvoi Primus and David James. You know, I've played with David James when he was at Bournemouth. You know, a fantastic character, fantastic career, you know, it just shows you the signs of the calibre of players that have played for this club.
You joined AFC Bournemouth back in 2011. When you joined them, did you ever foresee that you'd go on this incredible journey with them?
I'd have to say no. When I got shown around the ground, you know, and the status that they wanted to get to and what league they wanted to get to, you know, Premier League was never talked about. It was the idea of getting to the Championship. But when Eddie Howe took over, you know, everything just changed. And, you know, the mentality and the players that we had, you know, we didn't know any boundaries. So the way it happened was great. You know, the journey that went on was unbelievable. And, you know, if we can do that at a club like this, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that journey obviously included promotion from League One, which is what we're trying to do here this season. So what are your memories of that? I think it was 2013 when you went up to the Champ.
Yeah, a little while ago. It was... I mean, we had such a great squad there, and the way that, not only the results, but the way that we played as well, you know, we felt we deserved it. You know, with a club like this and the way that they've been playing and the result that we've been getting, there's no reason why we can't push for promotion as well.
Out of the experience that you've got in League One, the Champ and the Prem, what do you think is going to come in most useful during your time here?
Yeah, I'd say I think there's just the experience of playing a large amount of games, and let's say I've played in every league and know what it takes to get out of this league. So if I can just contribute in any form, then it's hopefully going to be a benefit.
And as you've gone up through the divisions and as time has gone on, have you had to change your game at all as a fullback?
Well, the higher you go, the better the opposition is, if you know what I mean, you know, the higher calibre of opposition. So, you know, say I've played against, I think, one of the best divisions, and, you know, we've had success. So, you know, to come here and try and prove it all again, though, is something that I'm really looking forward to.
You'll be coming in and you'll be going straight into competition with Lee Brown, who's been a consistent performer for us for three seasons now. How much are you looking forward to that aspect of it?
Yeah, of course, it's like any top team, you know, they have competition throughout the whole squad. So for me and Lee, if we can make each other better, that's what I've said throughout my whole career, you know, even when I was number one at Bournemouth, you know, it's for anyone coming in and obviously trying to play in my position, if we can improve together, then it improves the whole team. So I'd like to think that me and him are in competition, but we're doing it for the sake of the team, you know, and then the idea of the team is to get promoted. So that's the goal.
You'll be watching the game today against Hull, but if the local reports are to be believed, you've already been given a little bit of insight from Asmir Begovic.
Yeah, not only Asmir, you know, I did read what he said. It was a really nice touch. And yeah, I spoke to Asmir, I spoke to a few people. I spoke to Matty Ritchie, I spoke to Brett Pittman, I spoke to Eddie Howe. You know, I spoke to numerous people about the club, and every one of them have had nothing but good things to say about the club. So I'm really excited to be here, and I'm really excited to get going.
New signing Charlie Daniels there, once of course of AFC Bournemouth, arrives at Fratton Park with Premier League pedigree and having spent the first half of this season at Shrewsbury Town. Okay, we've just gone past 20-7 now, so that's just about it for part two of tonight's show. But fear not, because we'll be back very shortly for the conclusion of this evening's instalment of the Football Hour. But still time to get in touch as well, all the usual ways, at ExpressFM on Twitter, text Express to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back before you know it here on Express FM for even more Pompey chat and discussion. And we'll be talking about the signing of Charlie Daniels, who you've just heard from there, right here on the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening for the final time tonight from me, Jake Smith, here on the Football Hour, which is being supported this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head on over to stagecoachbus.com for the latest information regarding COVID-19 guidelines in your area. And please remember that you must wear a face covering throughout your journey. Rob, we're going to come straight back to you now. When we heard from the new signing Charlie Daniels there before the break, the former AFC Bournemouth left back, 34 years of age, plenty of Premier League experience as well. Again, another really huge positive signing for the Blues.
Yeah, I think it's a great signing from Pompey. I'll never forget his goal against Man City a few seasons ago in the Premier League with that gorgeous left foot strike into the top right corner. It was a brilliant goal. And as he said in that interview, he's played across all the leagues, Premier League, Championship, League One, League Two. Just over 200 appearances in League One, so he definitely knows how to play in this league. And despite him being 34 years of age, I think his experience will trump his age, and I think it'll be a really good signing for Pompey this season.
And that really is the big factor of it, isn't it, Henry? The experience that Charlie Daniels brings to this team. Okay, he may not be the same player he was at Bournemouth for plenty of years at Dean Court, but certainly got the experience and the know-how to get out of this division, to play at a higher level as well, and play against some top quality players. So that is healthy for Pompey, for competition. And you heard in his interview that he's not necessarily bothered about coming straight into the team, but it is the healthy competition to, you know, Lee Brown, another experienced senior pro at this level. That is the competition, but it will strive both players to really perform better in match day situations.
Well, certainly. And experience is something that any side that wants promotion can't have enough of. If you look at some of the players that come in through loans, and you know, the lad that's got the link today, they're young lads that probably haven't had the experiences of promotion or challenge the top end of the leagues like someone like Charlie Daniels has. You want that young experience, that rawness, but you also want mixed into that is the experience of a Charlie Daniels has been there, done it. He's won promotion to the Premier League. And on top of that, he's also a good player and will be able to get himself in the team on merit. So when you put all that together, the fact that he's a quality player and still now 34, I thought he was really good for Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
And he's good for a number of years. We've seen what he's done at Bournemouth. added into the fact that he knows how to get up, knows how to win at this level, knows how to win at the next level. You put all that together, you've got the perfect package. And as I say, any team that wants to get promoted, you need those experienced heads for the younger players who perhaps haven't been there before.
And he has still got it in this division, Rob, as we just heard there. Charlie Daniels spent half a season prior to joining Pompey this January transfer window at Shrewsbury Town. And Shrewsbury fans are actually gutted to see him leave. So it does show, but he still has got it in bag.
Oh, of course, yeah. And I agree with what Henry said just then about how important it is to have a balance of experience and youth in the squad. And you know, played at Bournemouth in the Premier League, the biggest stage in English football. It would be great for him to teach the younger players how to, you know, get confident and you know, progress their game. And yeah. I'm not surprised Shrewsbury fans are disappointed, because I think he's still got lots of quality in him.
Okay, this really is your final chance to reach out to us tonight from back home. We're now asking for your score predictions as the three of us here move on to preview tomorrow night's clash between fourth-placed Pompey and second-placed Lincoln City at PO4. Text your name and prediction, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Email in to pompey@expressfm.com. Head over to facebook.com/PompeyLive or include @ExpressFM on Twitter. Before we go any further into looking ahead to tomorrow's game, however, Conor Moseley is waiting patiently to give you the lowdown on the Blues' next opponents, managed, of course, by former Pompey gaffer Michael Appleton.
It was a day to forget for Pompey last time out, as they fell to a 4-0 home defeat against league leaders Hull City. But it's time now to put that result firmly in the past and look forward to the next challenge. It's another Fratton fixture, and this time the Blues entertain Lincoln City.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Imps of Lincoln make the long journey down for this midweek floodlit tie. The reverse fixture saw Pompey claim all 3 points in a 3-1 victory at Sintel Bank in November. Kenny Jackett's men have since climbed up the table, whereas Lincoln have solidified their position in the top two. So, what do we know about this Lincoln side, which are defying all odds and continuing to outplay the division's so-called big boys?
Manager.
As before, Lincoln are led by former Portsmouth gaffer Michael Appleton. The now 45-year-old made his managerial bout when he took charge of the Blues in 2011, though unfortunately failed to steer the side away from an inevitable relegation, which was pinned largely down to off-field financial problems. Since leaving Fratton Park in 2012, Appleton has overseen charge of Blackpool, Blackburn Rovers and Oxford United before taking up the assistant manager role at Premier League outfit Leicester City in 2017. He departed the King Power in April 2019 for a brief stint back at West Brom, where his coaching career began, before returning to full management with Lincoln later that same year.
One to watch.
Scottish midfielder Conor McGrandles is our pick for one to keep an eye on this week. The 25-year-old midfielder wears the number 18 shirt for Lincoln City and only linked up with Michael Appleton's side last summer following the expiration of his contract at MK Dons. McGrandles has been a bit of a nuisance in the handful of games he's played against Pompey over the past couple of seasons, and this week is set to be no different. The Falkirk-born creative midfielder netted for the Imps in a 2-1 win over Northampton at the weekend.
Top scorer.
Midfielder George Grant is the Imps' leading scorer in League One. The 26-year-old has recorded 7 goals and 4 assists from 21 league appearances this season. Grant joined Lincoln on a permanent deal for an undisclosed fee from Nottingham Forest in the summer of 2019, having previously spent time on loan at Notts County, Luton and Mansfield Town. Overall, he's netted 9 times in 54 games for Lincoln City.
Current form.
Lincoln suffered consecutive home defeats to both Sunderland and Shrewsbury, respectively, in mid-December, but have since turned their fortunes back around, claiming 13 points from a possible 15 from their last 5 league matches. A return of 4 wins and a draw since that barren run has kept the Imps in the running for an automatic promotion finish, and they haven't been too shy in front of goal during that period either, scoring 14 goals in the process, 5 of which came in one game against rock-bottom Burton Albion. Michael Appleton's side are also in the quarter-finals of the EFL Trophy. Having beaten Accrington by 4-0 in the previous round, they'll face off with Hull in a few weeks for a place in the semi-finals. Can the Blues bounce back from Saturday's horror show against Hull City? Will Kenny Jackett return Pompey to winning ways? All of the unmissable action of Portsmouth versus Lincoln City is right here on Pompey Live.
All you need to know there then about Lincoln City, who make the long journey down from Sincil Bank tomorrow night. Got a few more text, tweets and emails to read out before we do leave you in around 7 minutes or so. Mockers on Twitter, good evening to you. Mockers, a string of tweets here. Starts with, hasn't Kenny heard of social distancing? Our midfield will be more congested than the M275. That was a wonderful interview with George there. And as much as I like the pair of them very much, Roden and Marcus were not at the races on Saturday, and a big credit to Malik Wilkes of Hull for bullying our centre-backs, especially Rakitinho. Mockers there on Twitter, very good point there actually. Hull City, part of their, you know, winning factor on Saturday was the fact that they did rattle the Pompey defence, and they'd done it very well, unfortunately. As much as it was frustrating to see, they did control the game very much. And he then goes on to continue, an excellent point by Rob there about Charlie Daniels and what he can bring to the Pompey squad. He has won promotion from three different divisions at the same club. It's a win-win situation. And he has his own band. Okay, then. So we've spoken about before, lads, about, of course, the signing of Charlie Daniels and George Byers, Rob. But looking ahead to tomorrow's game against Lincoln City, we'll start off with Charlie Daniels. Would you like to see him start immediately? Or would you prefer to see Lee Brown and Charlie Daniels ease into it a little bit?
I'd say start Charlie Daniels. I think we need to give him a go. I think, as we discussed earlier, how big of a game this would be to win in order to get the ball rolling once again and get onto a good winning form. I think he should start. I think Lee Brown hasn't been bad, but, you know, I think he could have done a little bit better on Saturday at some points, but I think it's time for Charlie Daniels to step in and really show his experience and hopefully get Pompey up and running again.
Yeah. Lorraine Wells on Twitter following the game on Saturday says Hull was sharper and quicker to the ball than us for sure. It's great we've had a consistent team playing, but maybe some were tired. Terrible subs, missing a spark. Lorraine Wells on Twitter there. Luke Ellis says, but before Saturday, we've been on a great run. Just write the day off and hope that it is a one-off. We must win on Tuesday and avoid defeat next Saturday. Good to see us add two more players, not even halfway through the season, and we are in a good position. Long way to go, says Luke Ellis on Twitter. And a final one here from Dean Adams. Some Pompey fans need a reality check, he says. We are fourth, clean sheets, goals, etc. Saturday was an off day. All teams have them. We're a League One team. No team is full-on consistent in this division. We've got a good squad, and it is a long season, and it's not over in January. Move on, says Dean Adams there on Twitter. And looking ahead to tomorrow's game, we mentioned Charlie Daniels, Henry, but George Byers, we mentioned the potential he brings, the versatility he can bring to the side. Again, what do you see Kenny choosing at it as his midfield options?
I'm going to be controversial here, stick my neck out. I wouldn't start either of them. Usually I would say, why not? Give it a go.
Yeah.
The circumstances of the game, I just think is too big to risk. And I know some people will say, well, we've just lost 40 a couple of days ago, then, you know, maybe Kenny should freshen it up. And I get that. But I just think two new lads in straight away for a game like that, give them a week to settle, yeah, and then maybe Saturday and then go then. I just think maybe tomorrow night, considering how big a game it is, it's not a season-defining game, but you know where I'm coming from as far as the significance of the game is concerned. Sometimes you can drop new players in too soon, and I think this would be one of the occasions in which you would.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair analysis, Henners. Okay, we've got some score predictions coming into us now then, most predominantly on Facebook. Steve Barber is going for a 2-1 Pompey win tomorrow. Dave Smith says it will either be a draw or a loss, and if the same selections are made, then another hammering is on the cards. Terry Tongs is going for a 2-0 Pompey win, and finally Dave Brown is going for a 3-0 Pompey win. So those are what the fans back home are saying. What about you, first of all, Henry Deacon? A score prediction, please.
You know what? I'm going to go with a 3-3 because both teams seem to like to score goals, and yeah, I'm going to go 3-3. These two, usually when we play each other, there's usually a few goals in it. So I think it was 3-2 last season at Fratton. I remember being there. It was a great game. So yeah, I'm going to go 3-3. Why not stick my neck out a bit?
Headers is going for 3-3 then. How about you, Rob, then? How do you see tomorrow night's game unfolding? You've got about 10 seconds.
Mine's not as exciting as a 3-3. I'm going to go with a 1-0. I think both sides will cancel each other out.
Henry Deacon and Rob Calcutt there. Thank you, lads, both so much for joining me on the show this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure. And for the record, I am predicting a 1-1 draw at Fratton tomorrow night. I'm still confident for the season ahead, but I do see it being a bit of a struggle against Lincoln. We'll push on next week, though. I'm sure of that. So, can the Blues recover from Saturday's Fratton thrashing, or will it be another gruelling 90 minutes against the travelling imps of Lincoln City? Either way, we'll have you covered here on Express FM. Full pre-match build-up of tomorrow night's game will be live here and on iFollow Pompey from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Parker the found away yet again!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
It was an extremely bad day at the office for Pompey on Saturday, who were brought back down to earth by Hull City at Fratton Park. Wonderful shot from distance, and McGuinness makes it 4-0 to Hull City. Up next, a big reaction is needed for the Blues, who host second place Lincoln City under the Fratton floodlights. Join us for all the unmissable action this Tuesday from 6.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Join us for that one. Like we say, 6 p.m. tomorrow for full build-up of Pompey versus Lincoln. Kick-off 7 p.m. at Fratton Park. Well, that is it from us tonight, I'm afraid. But don't go anywhere, because Jeff and Adrian are up next with the Soft Rock Show, on which they'll be talking Bowie, Prince and John Martin, whilst looking back at events from this week in music history. And the guys will also have the latest hits from the likes of Foo Fighters and Matchstick Skeletons. And then from 9 o'clock this evening, Dan Ogus is back with Scattering the Roots, before Liam Howells returns with the Express Wind Down, calming you down this evening between 11 and 2am. Mason Jordan wakes you up with Portsmouth Breakfast from 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. He's got the latest travel, news, sport and weather updates, and of course the greatest hits as well, before handing over to Dazza Gamblin at 10 o'clock. Ian James is back playing Who Am I from 1, before kickstarting the victory years from 2 o'clock. And then James Percy once again delivers Drive Time from 4 through till 6, when Pompey Live takes over for the latest chapter of this strange, dramatic League One season. It is a big game under the Fratton floodlight tomorrow evening. Join us tomorrow from 6 for full coverage of Match Day 23. It's Pompey versus Lincoln City at Fratton Park. But until then, Blues fans, have a great rest of your evening, whatever you're up to. I hope to hear from you in around about 23 hours' time. Stay safe, play up Pompey, and good night.